Welcome to the first episode in the Not Offended podcast. I'm your host, Robert Farmer, and I get to have dialogues with people I don't agree with and show that we can have a productive conversation and still walk away without damaging relationships. Today is going to be a doozy. It is a Trump voter has a discussion with a Biden voter. I introduce my good friend Aaron, and we have a conversation, and it was super, super awesome. Tune in for more conversations like this in the future, and let us know your thoughts. Enjoy. Okay, we're out here in beautiful Las Vegas. The weather here is probably in the 70s. We are doing this podcast.
High 70s.
Yeah, high 70s. We're doing this podcast outside because of how awesome the weather is. My name is Robert Farmer. I am the host here of Not Offended podcast. Our first episode, so I am breaking the ice with one of the most controversial topics. It's Trump versus Biden. And so I'm here with my friend Aaron, and we are going to get into this. But before we get into it, I have a couple guidelines that I'd like to stick by. And some of the guidelines are our goal here for our conversation right now isn't to change each other's mind. For mostly, our main goal is just to hear each other's side of our point of view. And so my goal is not to change your mind, Aaron, but although my mind might be changed depending on our discussion, but that is not the point of our conversation. And it is okay to disagree, and that is one of the guidelines. And we're going to learn to talk through this conversation, and we might disagree, but we're going to walk away still being friends and still having an awesome conversation. And lastly, although we're going to get into a topic that we disagree, I find it's going to be more important to find other things that we do agree on before we conclude this episode. So do you agree to those guidelines?
Yes. I think the funny thing is about this is you and I are already pretty good friends, and I think similarly about certain things, this being one of the things we think differently on, but we're also like good friends already.
Yeah.
So you might interview someone in the future that is
You're
not good friends with. It's like a weird phone call, you know?
It's going to be an interesting road that I journey on, because it's my intention is to learn and to hear other people's point of view. And that's going to be interesting on how these guidelines kind of live their way out in other kind of discussions, because, you know, who voted for who is, it's kind of a polarizing topic, but there's definitely going to be more passionate conversations that I'm going to have that could be more spicy. So stay tuned for those who are listening.
Level 10 spicy.
All right. So Aaron, we already got into it, but I feel like I haven't introduced myself or yourself. So, why don't you introduce yourself?
Man, I know that everyone who's listening is already going to know who I am, so it's no big deal. I'm just kidding. So my name is Aaron Hansen. I am 29 years old, so I'm a millennial. Are you a millennial?
I technically am a millennial, and there's like a debate on like the time frame. Anyway, I was born in 83, so like barely a millennial. I'm a zillennial, whatever.
So I was nine when you were born,
yeah,
by the way. So I am the I know I have your notes right here, so I can kind of go out of order a little bit. I'm a student pastor in Las Vegas at a church, and I am married to my wife Tally. We have a child that is literally due any day, which is cool. So we might have to cut this podcast short if she goes into labor.
But yeah,
I don't think that she will. I think what we'll do is we'll just bring you with.
Okay, yeah.
We'll record
continue the conversation.
Yeah, while she's going through labor.
Because you have to know what's important. This is a conversation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I have my first kid on the way, which I'm really excited about. And so that's me in a nutshell.
All right, and then me, I'm the host. My name is Robert Farmer. I am married to my beautiful wife, Jeanette, and we have four amazing children. All four of them are under the age of eight, so I am, my wife is a saint.
Jeanette's awesome.
Yeah, Jeanette is awesome. And I work full-time. She's a stay-at-home mom. That's a great relationship. That's what's worked for us right now. And yeah, I do landscaping. I'm in management, so I manage people and have to learn how to talk to people and manage them well. So this is another.
You do landscape architecture, okay? Let's you're a professional architect. Sure. You're an architect.
I do custom landscape architect.
What's the way you can say that and make it sound way more professional?
Custom landscape design. I'm your professional landscape designer.
I'm a professional outdoor architect.
Yeah. I do management, and that's what I do. I'm a follower of Jesus. That's kind of where my view on things are, which shouldn't take much effect here in this conversation. And Aaron, I believe you are as well.
I was gonna make a joke. No, for sure. I think that's the thing that is interesting about this topic is you think of like a Trump supporter as being like a pure evangelical, like very fundamentalist. And I would argue you're probably not like any like a fund. I think you're evangelical. I also identify as evangelical, but I don't think you're a fundamentalist.
No.
And I am a Christian. I believe in the Bible and voted for Biden. Now I do not believe that. That Biden, I don't consider myself a Democrat, so I kind of got a little bit away from the conversation. It's interesting because both of us, you know, we talk about the things that we agree on. Both of us are followers of Jesus, but both of us chose to vote differently,
and that's what we're going to get into. So, okay, so we're going to come right out of the gates into the conversation. I'm Robert, and I voted for Trump this last election. So it was a 2020 election. I voted for Trump. And you voted for Biden, correct?
I voted for Biden. Yeah, I didn't go third party. I voted for Biden.
Okay. So I guess I got a couple questions here for you. And it's like, mostly we want to know, why did you vote Biden? And kind of, was it the policies? Was it his campaign promises? Was it his character? Let us know a little bit about that.
Yeah, I think this is a loaded question because I'm not a political person. We talked about us being followers of Jesus. Like, I want to, and this sounds corny, but I really do believe this and want to model my life. Like, one of the things I love is, like, Matt Chandler says, like, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, I'm a Jesus guy. And I think that I identify in that way. Like, you know, I just moved to Nevada, and so when I got my license, it was like, what party do you identify with? And I don't identify with a certain political party. And I want to be a very kingdom-minded person. And so for me, I voted for Trump in 2016. And I honestly thought that he did a really good job as a president. Like, you know, I think that there's a level in which, there's the socialist part of, like, being a Democrat, there's also like the capitalist part of, and I would definitely identify with like a capitalist. And I also, just so you know, like, don't like agree with abortion. Like, I don't like support. I don't support abortion. I think it's a loaded question because I do understand. I think people who, this is maybe a rabbit hole we'll get down later, but
this is another topic on another episode.
For sure. But I think for me, one of the things that reasons that I voted for Biden was not even because I really supported Biden. It was because I really didn't agree with Trump. Part of the reason as a follower of Jesus is I felt like Trump used the name of Jesus as a way for people to get him votes, but he doesn't know a single thing about what it looks like to follow Jesus. Like, I remember there was a question, he was in an interview, I think it was like before the 2016 election, and they asked him, like, what's your favorite Bible verse? And he wouldn't give them an answer. He, like, didn't know the answer. And they were like, do you not know? He was like, no, it's personal. I was like, well, it's actually just because I don't think you'd know any Bible verses. Mm-hmm. I think the thing that I struggled with when it comes to Trump is people, my sister is very, very far left and does not follow Jesus, does not love Trump at all, and very adamant against Trump. And for me, people are putting Jesus and Trump together, and I just think that they are so categorically different. Mm. Even though I think that there are certain things that the Republican Party stands for, like being against abortion, not standing for gay marriage, But I think for me, for such a long time, I identified with a, it was like a one party issue where it was like abortion. Abortion is the thing that made me a Republican. But ultimately, one of the things that I think strongly identified with Biden is, you know, if you're going to be pro-life, you should be all pro-life, which means you should care about not just unborn babies, but refugees. That means you should care about immigrants. That means you should care about all these different things that Republicans, unfortunately, and you can push back on this, I think are known for, like, keep those terrorists out of our country,
sure,
keep those Mexicans across the border, you know. And it kind of, as I look at Jesus, it's like, what is pure religion? It is to love the orphan and widow and walk humbly with God. And so I look at even some of those policies of the Republican Party, the Democratic Party, and I'm like, I think Biden might have more kingdom values than Trump does. And then this is the last thing that I'll say, because I think that I want to give you a chance to respond, that the whole QAnon BS stuff. So for me, my father actually got really sucked into the QAnon stuff, like Trump being like a prophecy from the book of Daniel. And even like after Biden got elected, like, you know, March 2021, Trump was going to, like, somehow, because of the third chapter of the sixth verse in Daniel, like, prophesied. And so, like, the Capitol insurrection is one thing, but I even saw, like, with my dad just got so sucked into that world, and it was harmful for our family. It kind of tore our family apart a little bit, and especially my brother and sister, who are not Christians, were like, what the heck is going on? Like, where's dad going? And to have people ask Trump about it, and Trump to just be like, well, people want to support me, they can support me. And it's like, dude,
yeah,
like, you got to shut this down. And so I think those were some of the things where, this is an interesting thing because you and I think have similar values, but we voted for someone different. And so I'm going to give you the chance to respond so we can have a conversation. But that's, I think, in a nutshell, why I voted for Biden. And I think if I could put it in a sentence, I thought Biden had more kingdom values than Trump did.
Yeah.
And so that's why I voted for Biden.
So from what I'm hearing is mostly your decision was a big part of it had to do with what you interpreted character as far as Trump's character and his beliefs, as far as what drove him and his administration. And then from my understanding of what you're saying, I think that you, from what you're interpreting, you had believed that Biden had better biblical values or better
I think kind of character. Unbeknownst to him,
yeah,
as well.
Okay, yeah. So yeah, something sort of aligned more with your biblical values or your viewpoint of things. Is that what I'm hearing?
I think so. Okay. Yep.
So, yeah, you did say a lot.
Sorry, man.
No, that's fine. It's a lot to unpack, and I'm not definitely going to try and respond to everything. I think that the white elephant in the room is definitely Trump's character. And honestly, like, I would personally, if I could choose, I would definitely take his character, his Twitter account and all that. I would try and take it out of the equation because honestly, that doesn't make a leader, in my opinion. What he tweets about doesn't, you know, pertain to foreign policy or, you know, his executive orders or whatnot. Now, he may brag about it and be, you know, kind of a jerk about it, which, I mean, I agree. But I think that from the reason that I personally had voted for him in 2020 was because looking at his policies, his executive orders, his what he's done with the country, he ran it like a business, and I think that that was lacking in presidents prior. And I didn't vote for anybody in 2016 because of personal issues. Throwing it out there, I was a felon and had to get things fixed.
Robert's story is really cool.
It is cool. I should do a whole. I will do in the future. I will do a whole episode on my story. But I didn't vote in 2016. If I did, I would have voted for Trump just because I think that Obama and his whole entire administration and his tenure in office kind of bred the necessity for Trump. I think that how America was you know, respected or not respected. I think the military, police, all that. I think that the lack of that during that administration and Obama's administration kind of gave the necessity for a Trump administration. Somebody who's going to grab the bull by its horns, somebody who's going to come in, take charge, and not play around. And I think that Trump did a great job. The reason I voted for him because instead of Biden was because I still thought that his decision making when it came to you mentioned about being pro-life along everything. I too I don't believe in abortion. Just a little plug on that. I believe that the only people who have the right to have an opinion on abortion is those who have been aborted themselves, either they've survived or whatnot. I just think I choose life, and how that plays out in Republican policy, I do admit, is probably a lacking a little. I do see the necessity of holding strong borders. I've seen that as a principle, a biblical principle, when they built the walls after getting overthrown. Mm-hmm. Nehemiah. I've seen when they built Jerusalem and had all the walls. I think that if there's anything good, it's good to protect it. And sure. I'm not against immigration. I am not against immigration. Now, listen, my wife literally came here illegally. Her mom, when she was, I think, 7 years old, came over here from Mexico. She was born in Mexico, came here with her siblings. And, they grew up here in America illegally. They ended up getting their citizenship and going through the process. I'm not against immigration at all. I am against trying to take advantage and being illegal and kind of having the loopholes that I think that a lot of the Obama administration kind of put out there. Throwing that out there, like, I do believe that, it is a responsibility as a Christian community to be for, orphans or adoption and all that stuff. That's why I'm more leaning towards Republican. I say I'm a Republican only because I think that you have to partner with a standard that doesn't really change. Because if you kind of are in the gray area and you're like, oh, I'm independent. Well, independent can mean anything.
Yeah.
And it can change really quick. Republicans kind of, or Democrats, one or the other, unless if like Democrats nowadays, there's definitely two polarizing Democratic parties inside the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. The socialists, what do they call it? Progressives. And then there's like the traditional Democrats that are more, I would say, conservative.
Whatever Bernie Sanders was.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. but when it comes to like the major parties, I do see a necessity for like major parties just because there's generally a standard that's held and upheld.
Well, can I ask you this? And I want to.
Sure.
Because I think in the last 10 years, maybe even before Obama, I think of George Bush. And obviously there's certain things, like the war in Iraq, certain things that people didn't agree with. Like, there's like the meme, Bush did 9/11, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
But I think that it, 10 years ago was not as polarized as it was today. There's something about the hostility, and I think even the extremism of like the far right and then the far left. Like, there's not a, and then you talked about the lack of a, not wanting to be independent or like the gray area. I do think that that's the thing that stinks, is that even in like this landscape that we're in politically, like, I agree with some of Biden's things, but I don't agree with all of them.
Right.
But I also just looked at like, who Trump was and who my sister thought Jesus was because of Trump.
Yeah.
And for me, I was like, I want to get Trump out of, because I think if I look at what Trump's doing to my dad and I look at what Trump's doing to my sister, and I want them to see Jesus as not this like business owner who just wants to suck money from people, and someone who is loving and caring and cares for like the things that God cares for. I mean, Jesus is God. That's like a, but so I think, sorry, I didn't mean to interject.
No. But. Yeah. You bring up a good point because, I honestly, personally don't think that, theology and politics should mix. Now listen, I do believe that your theology should drive your politics.
Yeah.
I don't think the other way, it shouldn't be the other way. Your politics shouldn't drive your theology. It shouldn't make, anyhow, you unpack that the way you want to unpack that. That's my personal beliefs. I never think that.
And I think I agree with that.
Too, yeah. I don't think that anybody who's going to run our nation or any presidency in the past is ever going to be close to Jesus or isn't going to be a perfect leader. Isn't going to be, the answer to our life's questions.
Can I say what my issue was that might kind of
form yeah,
what
you're sure.
saying? My issue was with Trump tying himself to the name of Jesus so adamantly and then living and acting in a way that was so different from what I think Jesus represents and the church and the kingdom of God represents. That was my biggest thing. Like, Biden never was like, I mean, he's Catholic or whatever, but the thing I wrestled with is that Trump tried to manipulate the evangelical vote, and that is what I struggled with. Like, if Trump would have just been like, well, I'm just kind of an a-hole, I am very Republican, very business-minded, and didn't, like, say, well, I'm a Christian, I follow Jesus, I try to uphold, like, Christian standards, because that's what he did. And then I saw the way that he treated people and others, and even, like, this is, I mean, one of the things that we're going to talk about later is, like, the COVID response of being like, well, it's not real, I'm not going to wear a mask, that's stupid, and then seeing it kill 250,000 people, or, I mean...
Yeah.
More than that. So I think that was one of the things that I wrestled with.
So, like, yes, I understand. For me personally, as like, I kind of rooted for the guy. That part, I almost, I guess this could be a flaw on my end. But I can see that as an overlookable offense, if that makes any sense. Because then if I were to get personal, I could say that I'm for Jesus and I follow Jesus. But then I find myself doing stuff that's totally against it. Like Romans talks about it in chapter 7, where it's like, dude, I do what I don't want to do, and I don't want to do what I do want to do. Well, I mean, it talks about like, yeah, we're all hypocrites and whatnot. But with Trump, I do want to say there has been good that he did for the Christian community.
And I agree with you.
Okay.
But I also think that there was no repentance on his part.
Yeah.
Like, anytime anyone asked him a question and where he had to own a fault,
you're right.
He would just like, he would literally just talk about the good things he's done.
Yeah. Like, okay. So, I mean, it's one of the dude's faults. I mean, we all know that. You'd even take Twitter out of the, I mean, it showed all over the news media.
If Trump didn't have Twitter, I might have voted differently. But at the same time, Twitter was revealing of character, and I also think, like, ultimately, like, what I think, where I think we'd be.
So, like, that's a good point, because you voting for Biden, one of your biggest kind of things that you attributed to that was character, and me personally, like, I kind of take that with a grain of salt. I have a saying that says, chew the meat and spit out the bones. And that comes with, you know, theology. It comes with a lot of things. And for politics, I want to say that it applies, because I don't believe anybody in politics. Like, no offense. Like, I mean, that's what politics is. Like, a politician will say all this jazz about what they're going to do during their presidency. They never live up, and blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, for somebody to tell, you know, a politician to tell me that they're a certain way and then be another way, it's normal to me. So like when it came to Trump, I kind of took that out of the equation, but I did look at all of his accomplishments. And to me personally, I think Trump, during his presidency, whether you like his character or not, whether you like his Twitter or not, he accomplished more for the American people than I almost want to say any president, apart from George Washington, any president so far. I don't know. That's my opinion, though. Because, I mean, yeah. You go off of, like, what he's done and the challenges that he came and he overcame. Imagine, okay, look, so he, whatever he accomplished during his presidency, came against great resistance against the Democratic Party. Like, yeah. Crazy resistance. Like, I'm like, dude, just let the guy do his job. And if I'd be surprised on what more he would have accomplished for the American people.
And I think I'd be foolish to not admit that I think that our media, I mean, like, there's the Fox News and there's the CNN, and it's like, you'll hear the same story, but it's like, who do we agree? Like, I would be an idiot to say that the media, I mean, he talks about fake news, and I think that he, to a fault, did that a little bit too much. But I do think that there is a reality of people were pretty adamantly against Trump.
Right. Okay. So hold on. With the fake news, I want to say that Trump, the first president in whatever history, called it like it was. That that don't trust the media. Like, come on. Like before Trump even said that it's all fake news, it's all whatever. Everybody has an agenda. Like, you had to just assume it. Right before he actually said that, his push towards independent journalism to me was not just the most brilliant thing, but the most America needed independent journalism, and to see that, hey, just because these news media outlets are pushing an agenda, whether it's for Trump or whatever, whether it's liberal or not, there's an agenda, and the whatever, the naysayers, whatever you want to call it, the independent news sources or even Twitter or whatnot, when Trump was using Twitter to communicate to the American people, Twitter didn't really twist his words unless they kind of banned him, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But he could literally say hey, China's doing this stupid stuff, and then everybody got it because they're on Twitter.
Yeah, I think one of the things that people really identified with Trump was he didn't use flowery language when he talks about people.
Yeah.
But I also think that was one of the things where he belittled people.
You're right. You're right. I think that part of
I was going to say, just to push back a little bit on the media side, I don't know if you paid attention to when he ran his rallies that he did. Well, first off, it was we have 30,000 people this rally and Biden only had 4. Mm-hmm. And it's well, that's because Biden wanted to act like COVID was a thing. That's a thing. And that's probably an issue that you and I might disagree on. But I think one of the things that was interesting on that was some of the rallies that Trump had felt like North Korea. It made me very uncomfortable, where it was it almost felt like North Korea or Russian propaganda, where there'd be little kids making songs about Trump and it almost looked like military marches. And so, to all that to say, you talk about the fake news liberal media, and I'm Fox News, what's his face from Fox News? What's the guy from Fox News that...
I apologize. I don't know.
It's okay. There's that guy from Fox News that always... I mean, literally, I think his job description...
Like Sean Hannity or something?
Yeah, something like that. Okay. It's his job description is stir the pot. Try to just piss off people. I feel like that is in his job description. And I agree with Anderson Cooper or whatever, that far side too. I feel like that is stir the pot. If Trump is going to say the fake news, he's got to look at the outlet that talks about all the positive things that he does, and even his own political campaign that feels a lot like Russian or North Korean propaganda.
Okay. So, to address that, listen, Trump doesn't need a hype man. He's his own hype man. It's super prideful, I do admit. It's super egocentric. I admit that. But what I think that America needed at that time, and I mean, a lot of Americans still agree with Trump and his point of view was that, you know, Trump was doing really good for the American people. And so, like, you know, whenever you'd come out and these Trump people were rallying for him because it was a whole portion of the population that felt heard. All right. And they felt heard and they felt that this man was for them.
But would you say, so just to even ask you a clarifying question, I would say that I think the majority of the people who felt heard were people 60 and older who lived in rural America. Like, I think that the up-and-coming generation is in the city and millennials. And I think that Trump did a good job reaching boomers, but Biden did a good job. And I wouldn't even say Biden, like, maybe the Democratic agenda did a good job reaching where millennials are. And I think that...
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Yeah.
Because this is like a question that should be in its own topic. Now, do you think... Because there's a lot of people that think that the election was not super legitimate. Like, there was a couple, you know, evidence, like, you know, ballots missing. There was, you know, videotapes of people taking out suitcases of ballots that went for Biden. I don't know. What do you think about all that?
Do I think it was a rigged election? I think it's funny. The thing that I think is ironic is it went all the... Well, one, there's the recording of him talking to the people in Georgia about, like, almost seems like he's trying to manipulate their decision. Like, that was the thing that was a red flag for me. But also, the Supreme Court justices that he appointed to be in the Supreme Court. Two, I think, there's the Comey. Was that a person that he was?
Amy Comey or...
Yeah, and then there was the other guy. There was also the judge who also, like, supposedly in college, which for me, for that decision or that whole thing when it went down where it was the guy who was supposedly raped a girl when he was in college, I thought that that was even the Democrats being like, we just want our own agenda, so we're going to try to put everything we can against this guy.
Because, I mean, the allegations of against Biden aren't legitimate, right?
Yeah, yeah. So I think that ultimately there were two people that he had appointed to the Supreme Court that there was a lot of people on the left who were like, what the heck? This is stupid. Why are you doing this? And tried to fight against it, which, okay, to each their own. But then that same Supreme Court, when Trump tried to say, hey, I was cheated on, I didn't do this, or, you know, the election was rigged, those same people he appointed were like, hey, man, sorry, the election's legit.
I understand.
So I think that was ironic.
Okay, I understand that. But I don't know how up in the news you are, but they're still doing audits and court orders. It's still in court. They're going over all of that, the evidence, all of the ballots and everything. Yep. Arizona, Colorado. They're still researching this, and there's been discrepancies. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm not saying one way or another. I'm just saying that if this was like a third world country, I think the U.S. would have intervened.
I do look at the Capitol insurrection that happened, and I think we can both agree on that sucks.
Okay, that sucks. But listen, the Capitol was overran by BLM, by Antifa. Like, how many months before? Because of George Floyd. But that wasn't as big. There wasn't a freaking trial on that, or
I think it would have been different if they didn't, like, go into the courtroom. I think that it is ironic. I think that it is ironic that there was the stay inside, do the whole social distancing thing, and then at the same time there were these Black Lives Matters protests, which I will say I was a part of and that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah.
I don't agree with the Black Lives Matter organization, but I agree with I even see in my own heart, I am racist towards Black people in some ways. Like, if I look at a group of white guys, I am not as intimidated. But if I look at a group of Black guys, I am as intimidated. So that's another conversation for another day. But I do think that it is ironic that there was the Black Lives Matter whole, and then social distancing. And then those rallies happened. And then there's the Capitol insurrection, and that was very highly publicized. But I also think that it is different than because they stormed the Capitol, you know? And so we talked about, I'm trying to remember where we've kind of gone on two different, a lot of different viewpoints, but I think that you asked me the question, was the election rigged? I think that the things that Trump said in power in his 4 years told him, hey man, the election wasn't rigged. You lost.
Yeah, I think he's kind of owned up to that. But just to go back really quick on the whole, I think it was the whole agenda thing. I mean, Black Lives Matter, like even the news media, like, you know, oh, peaceful protests. It's like there's buildings burning down. All right. And I'm not saying that the.
I would argue like 9 out of 10. Were peaceful,
right? No, I'm saying there's people there that was trying to make the best of it. People died,
yeah.
You know, and unfortunately, the what was it? The you call it the insurrection, the January 6th thing, where they stormed the Capitol. The only person died was the people was a woman that was on there, you know, who was protesting that was unarmed, that was shot by one of the cops.
I wasn't even aware someone died.
Yeah, so. Well, I mean, she died because. So anyhow. There's also videos of, you know, the police who were not stopping people from storming the Capitol. I don't know. You know, well, in my opinion, like that whole day, all of the Capitol police and everything, that whole day was like a Nancy Pelosi was in charge of. And she rejected the additional help. If you look at, you just look back. There's a couple of things of
let's
I think
just,
that
let's
it was,
just agree that it's yeah. a lot more complicated than what we think.
Yes, yes, it was a lot more complicated.
So yeah, can I bring up a topic that I think would be helpful to our conversation?
Sure.
And the thing that's funny about this is you and I agree. Like, I think it's going to be awesome in the future when you like interview an atheist of atheists.
Yeah.
Who, like, disagrees with your whole world.
I've got a buddy, and I've got it's a podcast that will be coming up in the next couple.
And you and I have a similar worldview. I think there's just a couple of things that are different about our worldview.
Right.
Not our worldview, excuse me. Our decisions for politics. But I think one of the things that I think would be worth talking about, and this is a plug for Matt Chandler. So Matt Chandler, if this ever becomes famous, you need to acknowledge me. There is a book called Take Heart by Matt Chandler. And it talks about Christendom, and it talks about, like, people are fighting against, like, the world is becoming less and less Christian, what the heck is going on, this is terrible. Like, and I think that's part of the reason a lot of people voted for Trump, is because I think Trump is very much pushing Christian views. One of the things that his book talks about is, especially as you look at the New Testament church, is that they were marginalized in society, and they were persecuted against. And when the church is pushed to the margins, the church thrives. The church, when they're persecuted, thrives. When it doesn't become just a social or a political thing, where it's just I'm a Christian because it's socially acceptable. Because I think you and I could both agree on, there's a lot of people who are Christians because their grandma was a Christian or because they're a Republican, but they don't know jack about what it looks like to follow Jesus. Or if I were to ask them what the gospel is, they couldn't tell me. One of the things that I really struggle with, and I think that Matt Chandler's book talks about, is that when Christians are pushed to the margins of society, the church thrives and Jesus thrives. Because, I mean, there's the phrase, the blood of the martyr is the seed of the church. And I think, obviously, the church in India, the church in China, they are killed for their faith. And us, we are marginalized and looked as idiots for our faith, as Christians in America. And so one of the things that I saw Trump, and one of the reasons I voted for Biden, was because when Christians are the center of society, Christians just look like idiots or they look like jerks. And, you know, you look at the things like crusades, and I would say that you probably disagree with, like, the crusades were stupid.
Yeah, okay.
Let me finish this thought.
Yeah, finish it.
Because I think when the Christians, when the church and Christians are at the height of power in society, we abuse that power, and we use the name of Jesus in a way that is demeaning towards people and is hateful towards people. Not hateful, but is to elevate our group of people mm-hmm. and to not care about the
yeah.
whole society. And so there's a book, Take Heart, by Matt Chandler, that I think talks about when Christians are moved to the margins of society, that is actually beneficial towards the church, because it separates the sheep from the goats. It separates the social Christians from the real disciples of Jesus. And so part of the reason I voted for Biden, and this is, I think, a good conversation, is because I'm ready for evangelical Christianity to not be at the center of the voting box, because I think when evangelical Christianity is at the center of the voting box, Christians abuse their powers.
Yeah.
And the church actually becomes what they're against. And I know we talked about not changing each other's minds.
Yeah.
But that's the thing that I wrestled with the most, is that not even that I even agree with all of Biden's ideas.
Your alternative motive is so that Christians are marginalized so that they'll thrive.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? Like, I voted for Biden so the Christians would be persecuted.
Yeah, yeah. Interesting. Wow. That's so... Okay. So my biggest rebuttal towards that is that America was founded by Christians who were marginalized.
It was actually founded by agnostics. Thomas Jefferson was not a Christian.
Yeah,
he had the Thomas Jefferson Bible that was, he took all the miracles out of Jesus.
Okay.
They were founded on
Christian biblical principles.
Thomas Jefferson and George Washington were Christians, but Ben Franklin and George Washington were Christians. Thomas Jefferson was definitely not a Christian.
Yeah, and he came after the fact, poor Hamilton quotes, but we can bust out and rap right now, but the Constitution was built on Christian principles. Our judicial system, I don't know if you know this, but is built on the Ten Commandments. That's why there's always a statue or something of a Ten Commandments in almost every courtroom. Yeah. Because of like our...
People swear on the Bible.
Right. Yeah. People swear on the Bible still to this day. So like it's funny because, yeah, we can get, you know, too far left or right or whatever you want to call it, to where Christians are marginalized, as you were saying. But we're a nation that was birthed out of like rebellion against oppressors. And in my opinion, I mean, if I were to go through the last couple weeks of, you know, before this podcast even airs, like, you know, the way that the Biden administration is going right now is oppressing the American people on certain, you know, policies, on, you know, requirements, and you call it, you know, throwing the vaccine, blah, blah, blah. To me, that's an oppressive administration that honestly, like, is like calling for history to repeat itself, which, like, to me is scary, because, like, not only were we born out of, like, you know, rebellion against oppression, a lot of people died.
Well, let me ask you a question. Do you view Biden as, I mean, Revolutionary War, King George, whatever his name was, taxation with their representation, that basically he is...
I do.
He is instigating certain policies that are without the vote of the American people.
So, to say the least, that our nation is so polarized where, the left and the right are so far in between that there's no gray that they agree on. I think that it's not only is it like a touchy time to where you should have, tact on how you approach it, but like questioning somebody's like freedom of healthcare.
Sure.
I think that the abortion, whoever's for abortion, it's like my body, my choice. I feel like they have to the limit a good argument, but to me, I'm like, You know,
but there's also the vaccination, like my body, my choice. I can decide if I want to get a vaccination or not.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean.
You that was like the spoiler alert.
I meant to make that controversial.
Yeah. So, like, I mean, my body, my choice, vaccination, and then, like, to me, it was like for the vaccine and all that stuff. Like, first off, like, I want to give credit where credit's due, and I think that in 9 months after the pandemic was arose. Trump is the one who got the vaccine, not Biden, which Biden took, didn't he take, he took credit for. Anyway.
I, for the record, agree with that I think Trump did all the legwork and Biden took credit for it.
Yeah, so he took all the credit for it. And even then with, I mean, I've got on my notes, in Afghanistan, which was like a horrible thing. Like, it was horribly executed. And what did he do when it was horribly executed? And he's like, I wouldn't have done it unless if Trump is the one who agreed to it. So I think with, like, the Afghanistan thing, that, you know, whenever... it was horribly executed and totally failed, that he blamed it on Trump. Oh, well, I wouldn't have done, you know, I was just held to Trump's promise. And I'm like, he didn't take in any ownership of how it was executed.
Yeah, I think that ultimately every administration blames the previous administration. But I do think that at the end of the day, it's like, George W. Bush is actually responsible for the stuff that happened in Afghanistan. You know, like, if you want to blame Trump, you want to blame Biden, it's like the things that happened in Afghanistan. And I think too, I do think that Trump would have handled it differently. But I think that ultimately it was gonna happen how it happened, because when you pull out of a country that still has a regime out in the outskirts, unless you completely took care of that regime, which I think more than funny enough, I'm not like a huge avid Obama administration supporter. I think Obama was the one who like really took care of the Taliban.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Who was Obama's right hand man? I forgot.
I don't remember.
Biden? Oh, yeah. I'm sorry, that was a setup. That's setup funny. Question, I'm telling you.
Yeah, so I think that it's when you look at the Afghanistan situation, would Trump have handled it differently? Probably. But I think at the end of the day, like, it was a crap show because of, like, there's the foreign policy question. And ultimately, like, did I vote for Biden because of foreign policy? No. Do I often think about foreign policy? No. Does the average American think about foreign policy? No. Like, who cares? Like, I think about what happens in America. And I mean, to that point, like, I think that jobs in America are good. I think that, you know, kind of vetoing China and helping, like, us, our economy is good. And that's what Trump stood for. But I think that ultimately the things that happened in Afghanistan would have happened regardless of the administration that was in place.
Yeah. I think
the COVID situation is like a little bit of a different one. Like, I will tell you, I'm vaccinated. I got vaccinated. And part of the reason I got vaccinated is not even because I was like, well, I have to because I voted for Biden. The reason I got vaccinated is because I was tired of, like, I was tired of wearing a mask. And if I can get vaccinated and not have to wear a mask, sweet, I'm not going to wear a mask. But there's another part of me, which my wife is pregnant and she's not getting vaccinated because who knows what the vaccination does to pregnant women.
Right.
And what it's going to do to my child.
Yeah.
So we didn't get that for that reason. And so I look at this is the like the middle ground where I'm not a full left side Republican, like Democrat, where it's like, I don't think that you should require people to get the vaccination. I think that is unconstitutional in some ways. But I also see the benefits of the vaccine, because if people get the vaccine, you can minimize the amount of people who have the virus and then you can get rid of it. But I also, which I think you'll agree with, think that we should just let the vaccine, the virus run its course. It's going to be like the flu. It's going to be like the things that we still struggle with to this day, like influenza, because the viruses work their course. And we can try to push against them as much as we can, but ultimately, vaccines are in their course. Yeah. Viruses are in their course. And so, not that I don't think we should protect people and give them vaccinations, but I also don't think that we should require people to get vaccinations.
Yeah, and the vaccination, honestly, like, if it were me, like, what makes the most sense is natural immunity. That means that if you've had COVID, that you have, the antibodies that fight against it. And honestly, like, the studies show that the antibodies from somebody who's had COVID previously is stronger than this artificial vaccination, which...
Well, can I ask you this question?
Yeah.
And I know a little bit of your story, and so I know that you're not super... I know you're not super tight with your family.
Yeah.
But, like, if you had grandparents, people who were older... Like, okay, there's a high school leader, Michael,
yeah,
who is older.
Right.
And it's like, we want to make sure that Michael, because of his lack of,
his vulnerability.
His vulnerability.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that we would protect a guy like Michael. And so why would we not all get the vaccine to protect Michael?
So listen, I'm going to call you out on this. Because, like, honestly, if you get the vaccine, you can still get COVID. Right?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so too. Right? If that's right. So if I were to get the vaccine and everybody were to get the vaccine, like the whole person, everybody gets the vaccine, we can still get COVID. So, but hold on, let me finish.
Yeah.
Because then the whole push, let's make it mandatory for everybody to get the vaccine. Well, you're still going to get COVID. So how are you going to blame me who decided not to do that with my body to get this experimental drug, pumped into my body? How are you going to, require that if everybody can still get COVID? It's just, to me, it's like the stupidest, like, loophole. It's like, it makes no sense. I feel like the people who are telling me to get the vaccine are saying, it makes sense if you don't think about it.
Well, let me say that my dog, Marge, who's here right now, said amen to what you're saying.
Yeah.
I think that, first off, I think I agree with a lot of what you said, but I think there is the part of me that that views. So say there are 300 people in a test and 285 of them get the vaccine. The 285 of them will not get the virus because they got the vaccine for 3 months, but the 15 might. And so I think the thing that makes sense about the vaccine is that the vaccine allows a 3-month period in which people will not contract COVID-19. And so the reason the virus makes sense, the vaccine makes sense, is if everyone in America does it during a certain amount of time, the thing that is not feasible is that you can't vaccinate 90% of the country in 3 months because the vaccine only lasts 3 weeks, 3 months. And so to think that you can vaccinate 90% of the country in 3 months is ridiculous. And so if in a perfect world we could vaccinate the entire country in 3 months, COVID would be eradicated. But we can't do that because of the means that we
But these are like projections. Because, you said COVID could be eradicated. I honestly, personally think that that's not true. I think that there's nothing that we can do humanly to eradicate this. This COVID, you find out, pick where it's from or whatnot. But listen, there's 100 things. Like, listen, I don't think that me getting a vaccine is going to help your immune system.
I think that if I'm a vulnerable person who doesn't want to get COVID or is not prepared because of the amount of antibodies in my body, doesn't want to get COVID because it might be harmful to me, it would be beneficial for me if you got the vaccine because you are able to fight against you're able to fight against COVID vaccines.
But okay, hold on. Let's roll off of that real quick.
Yeah.
Say, you're vaccinated. Let's say I do choose to get the vaccine. Say you're vulnerable. I could still get COVID. I could still carry it. I could still transmit it to other people and not have it or not have symptoms, even if I'm vaccinated, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. It's correct. The answer is correct.
I think that it is an
I think the thing that people on the left are not acknowledging is that it is different for every person.
Right, yeah. You know?
There's some people who get COVID and it, like, really messes with them. And there's some people like me who I got COVID in March. And, I mean, and I don't want to talk about this, but I do CrossFit.
Yeah.
And so it wasn't that bad for me. Right. Like, I couldn't taste for a couple of days. And there was a couple of weeks afterwards where it was harder to do workouts. But I was still in relatively great shape. But there's some people who, like, get COVID. Like, my former boss got COVID. And he was, I mean, he's also pretty overweight. And so he really struggled with it. And so there's different, like, levels in which you get COVID and it affects your body.
So anyhow, we're saying all these, like, vulnerable, like, you know, scenarios and whatnot. I don't think that this is as deadly as, like, was it the pneumonic plague or, you know, like, smallpox or whatnot.
Agreed.
And those haven't been, like, widely express, like, let's make it mandatory that they get the vaccination. I don't think that smallpox is a mandatory vaccination. Actually, now that I think of it, like, even any vaccinations for, like, you know, newborns or whatnot, I don't even think that those are mandatory. I think that those are still optional. This is, like, weird that this that we're talking about this, and it's kind of like a 99.9% success rate or survival rate, and that we're talking about this thing that's very comparable to the flu. Anyhow, let's you know, wrap up the COVID, because that's a whole nother episode.
I think that that is a very worthwhile talking about topic.
Yeah, so I think that's going to be another episode. I think that this whole entire Trump versus Biden thing is going to have to go into
I think
round two.
I think that's the middle ground too of... I don't agree with all of Biden's and the Democratic administration's decisions on vaccines, but I definitely don't agree with Trump's act like it doesn't exist.
Yeah, okay,
like,
so
there is the where's the middle ground? And I think that's where, like, the polarization of our country, where there's the far left and the far right, which as we transition into, like, what do we agree on? I think that's what we can agree on, is that there is a far right and a far left. And I don't identify as a Democrat.
You know what? I think
identify as a Republican. I identify as a Jesus person.
Yeah, and I think that a lot of Americans are like that. And I, you know, I'm part of the my favorite race, which is there's only one race, and it's the human race. And I think that if we had a more subtle viewpoint of, like, we're all in this together. It doesn't matter what color skin. It doesn't matter what gender you choose. It doesn't matter who you identify as. That we're all part of this human race, and we're all in it together. We're all humans. And so the last part that I would love for us to end on is to find out what we do agree on. So we are going to start with a little segment that I will call Nah Brah or Yeah Boy. And so,
I like Yeah Boy more than Nah Brah.
Okay, so here it is. It's going to be candies. All right. So, now, when it comes to Halloween's coming up soon, candy corn, is it Nah Brah or is it Yeah Boy?
Well, it depends. It depends on what you think.
Candy corn.
I am married to a woman who, when we were at, Home Goods the other day, bought a whole thing of candy corn pumpkins. I think that candy corn is overrated, but I think that it's good.
So I am a Nah Brah because I'm a
Yeah Boy.
Yeah,
I'm
know. Yeah, okay, boy. So you're a Yeah Boy, and I'm a Nah Brah because I still, you can't convince me otherwise. I still think that they stopped making the stuff in the 80s and they're still distributing it to this day because they can't get rid of it. Yeah. So they have warehouses full of this stuff. Anyway, okay, the next one.
Well, let's talk about it, because how do they make something called candy corn that tastes nothing like corn?
Or, I mean,
where do they get that recipe from?
I don't know. Again, I think it's something. It's like the 80s. You know?
Satan's butt.
It's, that's where they got it from. It's like Sobs. They don't make it anymore. Anyway.
Yeah. Sobs are kind of car.
Yeah. That's funny. Yeah. Okay. So, Yeah Boy or Nah Brah for Peeps?
Oh gosh, I feel like you should stay in fall, because Peeps is an Easter spring thing.
Yeah.
I think that, sorry, I'm not telling you how to run your own podcast. I don't know about Peeps. You're gonna realize this about me, and you might be frustrated with this. I'm a gray area. I'm not a yes or a no. I'm a let's talk about it.
Oh my goodness! Wow. So,
sorry. I think for me, I like Peeps. Okay, you'll agree with this. I like Christmas the day after Halloween, but I don't like it in October. And so for me, I like Peeps in March.
Okay.
I don't like it in July.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
But I think that I personally think that Peeps should stay with the yellow flavor and should get away from the watermelon flavor.
Okay. I don't
know what they were thinking with the watermelon flavor.
Watermelon. Oh, gosh.
It's gross.
I honestly, I don't know if I, ever since I grew up past 11, I don't like Peeps. So.
You ever put them in the microwave?
So I actually might actually try that or, try to make a s'more out of Peeps. That's a good idea.
What would you put them in between though?
Probably the same thing I would put s'mores in between, chocolate and graham cracker.
I feel like you'd have to put it in like two pieces of apple. I don't know. Because Peeps are so fruity. You'd want to have like a fruit flavor.
Fruity?
Wouldn't you?
Okay. We're getting back to what we agree on. Okay, so here we go. Beer or wine?
Oh, beer.
100%. Beer, for sure. Okay.
That's not fair.
Well, yeah, we know this, yes.
Whiskey or vodka?
Whiskey, for sure.
Whiskey.
Yeah, yeah. Whiskey,
or sure. Bourbon.
Bourbon or scotch?
Bourbon. I think bourbon.
Bourbon, yeah.
Okay. I like it to burn.
I like scotch, though. I like, but scotch, it has to be, I can only have it half my age or older.
I think that Scotland has not been relevant since the 1990s when Braveheart was a movie.
Yeah.
Who cares about Scotland? What do they do?
But nowadays, you can bring Braveheart back and put it in the Trump arena and say, "You're not taking my freedom!" No, sorry. Anyway. All right. One more thing that we agree on. Let's get it. Let's find it. You name a topic.
Lord of the Rings still holds up in 2021.
Yeah, I like Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings is... The fact that they used cameras during the recording in 1998 that we still use today, I'm excited to show my kids Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, Lord of the Rings. I like Lord of the Rings, yeah. I don't think my kids are that old enough to where they can watch it, but okay. All right, hold on. Who is the best Batman?
Definitely Christian Bale.
Oh yeah, hands down, Christian Bale. But hold on, do you know all of them?
I know
most of them.
Gosh,
Val Kilmer. Keaton.
No way, Val Kilmer from like the 1980s movies.
Right, Val Kilmer. Michael Keaton.
Yeah.
There was. Can you name any more? Ben Affleck.
Ben, I mean. We haven't really seen
those
movies.
Ben Affleck.
I mean, what's his face from the Twilight movies is now the...
Oh, yeah.
But that movie hasn't come out yet.
Yeah. Team Edward.
Edward Cullen.
I don't know. I don't know his real name. Robert something.
Robert Pattinson.
Yeah, Robert Pattinson. Yeah. Well, put us together.
Definitely Christian Bale, though.
Yeah, Christian Bale. Yeah, yeah.
And I think that the Joker is oh, gosh, what is his name? The guy who was the Joker that...
Not Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger. Yeah, it's Heath Ledger. Heath Ledger was the best.
Oh, yeah. Heath Ledger was definitely the best.
Definitely better than Jared Leto.
Can you name any... What a Jared Leto. There was Jack Nicholson was good.
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, he was good.
That was before my time. Yeah. That's where you show your age.
Yeah, I know. I show my age. Okay, so back at age 007. Who was the best 007?
Pierce Brosnan.
Okay, so I love Daniel Craig.
I do too, but Pierce Brosnan, like the world is not enough. All these different.
Yeah, I'm excited for the next one that's coming out. Okay, now listen, the most gangster I think is Sean Connery, hands down. He was gangster, all right.
Back in like the 1950s.
You talking about Scottish? Like his Scottish accent, dude, just killed it as 007. He killed it.
I have not watched any Sean Connery.
Oh my gosh, you gotta watch it. Dude, bring it back. Okay, so I think we found a couple things that we like. You're a human being, and I'm a human being. Although we may disagree on who we voted for, I still love you, dude. I think that we can have these conversations and still be productive. And I feel like I've heard your point of view, and hopefully you've heard my point of view on some things. But like I said, I love you either way, whatever you believe. And so I think that this conversation was beneficial. Hopefully those who have subscribed and who are listening felt it beneficial to hear maybe another point of view that you haven't heard of or thought of. Hopefully that is beneficial. But if you can take one thing from this, understand that you can still have a conversation with somebody that you don't agree with and still walk away winning on both sides. We may not agree on peeps. We may not agree on who we voted for, but there is stuff that we agree on. And you are not identified by who you voted for. You're not identified on what I disagree with you about. You are a human being that's made up of more than just one single decision. And so I love you for that anyway. And hopefully that these podcasts, as we keep going on, we understand that we can have these conversations with people that we don't agree with, that we can still be friends and we can still live and love and learn together.
Yeah, I think this is a little bit unfair. In the sense that you and I are like really good friends and really close.
But listen.
And because we really agree on the same things. Like,
yeah.
Right or left, we agree like Jesus is Lord.
Yeah.
But there is going to be some decisions in the future where you will interact with a person who is super differently
from you. So you guys listen to this. Thank you for tuning in. This is my first podcast. And of course, it's going to be, I did play it safe. So if you would like to.
You need to do an atheist.
Yeah. Time. Well, hey, if you guys would like to comment below on what topic I should conquer, whether it be abortion, atheist, whatnot, let me hear your thoughts. Comment below. Like and share. Hopefully your friends, family can hear a conversation with people that don't agree with each other, and we can still live in this world that we all love and still enjoy each other's company. You guys, thank you. You guys be safe. Hey, thanks for sticking around. I hope you enjoyed the conversation as much as I did. Don't forget to subscribe to get alerts for upcoming episodes. And please leave comments below how you enjoyed the conversation or any ideas on what you would like to hear in the future. And just thanks for hitting like and sharing with your friends. And we'll see you next time.